I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yes. All right. Welcome to Bottom of the Barrel. I want to welcome all the new subs we have today because like 3,000 of you came over from the unsubscribe podcast. We love unsubscribe. Those guys are the best. They're literally the salt of the earth. They're some of the finest human beings on God's dirty wet planet. And I just want to say thank you all for coming. So normally it would be me, Wes Barker, with my co-host, Chris Ramsey. But Chris is not here, and I am in Vancouver doing shows. So this isn't the normal set. So when you come back next week, you'll see us in our studio with me and Chris. But right now, it's just me in Vancouver on the road. Sorry for all the road pods. Chris actually isn't here because he's somewhere so exclusive. Less than 1,000 people have ever even been there. Not my story to tell. Come back next week, and he'll tell you all about it because it is fucking insane. With that out of the way, welcome to Bottom of the Barrel. I'm Wes Barker. I have a guest host today. This man is one of my favorite comics, okay? He's also one of Doug Stanhope's favorite comics. Robin Williams is on record saying he thinks this guy is extremely funny and talented, and we'll get to that later. Everybody, warm round of applause, big welcome, cheer, hoot, holler, crack a beer. It's Simon King.
Hello.
Hey, there he is.
Thanks for having me.
Whew, that was a long
intro. Dead man likes me. That's
yeah. Right out of the gate. I was wondering why. I'm like, did Rob Williams like you, or did you just
check
put
it.
That?
No, you can't check it. Can't Abraham Lincoln that. Said, real chuckle bag.
Okay, no, tell everyone right now because they're going to wonder. And you got to stay and watch this pod, everybody, because Simon is actually one of the greats, and you're going to find out all about it. So don't run away yet. No, you have to.
Just at the side of my head, they're like, I'm not watching this guy.
No, 100%. We had Kim Congdon on last week, and everyone stayed the whole time because Kim fucking Congdon.
Yeah, you're not
her.
No, fair enough. Right? I appreciate that.
Way uglier. Yep. So
no, you're not wrong.
Okay, actually, if you are going to leave here, go watch Simon's special on YouTube right now. It's called As Good or Better Than, and over 100,000 views right now. It's fucking killing it. It's such a good special. But tell us for real, did you ever meet Robin Williams?
Yep, quite a few times.
How'd that happen?
2002. I'm from here. I'm from Vancouver. And I live here. And I've been here. I started comedy here back in 2000. And in 2000... is this the end of seven? Sorry. That's an unboxing video I want to see.
I just realized I was missing something on the pod while you started talking.
Oh, there you go.
I stole this from my hotel room. It's the ice bucket.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Just in case we wanted to have a drink.
Lovely. Drink on this pod, there you go. That's lovely. There you go.
Sorry. There's some bourbon. There's some Irish whiskey. I want to hear this story.
I will tell you the story.
Cole's running the camera today. Cole, would you like a bourbon?
Hell yeah.
There you go. Fucking fantastic.
Okay. Fuck yeah.
So, 2002, doing a place around here called the Urban Well, which is where all the comics hung out. It was like a Tuesday night thing. And he's in town, Rum's in town filming something called, I think it was Amnesia? No, what was it? It was some movie like, oh, what was it called? It's the one where it's in Alaska. Insomnia. That's it, not Amnesia. And he was filming that, and everyone's like, oh, when he's in town, he pops in and does shows sometimes. So everyone's like, oh, Robin's going to come down. It's in the summertime. And it's like 7 o'clock. It's the early show. And he's like, Robin's going to come down. Robin's going to hang out and everything. And that's I was like, whatever. Cool. And it's this big packed bar, and there's this big long bar, and I'm at one end of it, like this. And down at the other end is the front door, and then there's the kitchen behind it. And then there's all this fuss at the, and I see this guy, looks vaguely like Robin Williams, wearing a full spandex outfit because he'd ridden his bike down. And I go, is that?
The fuck?
Oh, that's weird. And then 2 seconds later, he's right here. He goes, hello, chief. And I was like, fuck. He's like right here. And then he scuttled off backstage, which is like an area, just was like this little like alleyway behind the, or like little corridor behind the stage. And everyone was leaving him alone. And I was just looking at him standing there by himself, and I was like, well, fuck this. He's just a comic visiting, right? So I went over and talked to him, and within like...
That's hard to do, man.
Within a minute, we're just holding each other up laughing. Like, we were just making these... He's so fast and so funny, and so... It was so... kind of, for lack of a better term, like familiar to be able to talk with him like that quickly and that. And so we hung out, we chatted for a bit. He went on stage. He did his show. He did great. Amazingly, obviously, and then disappeared. He came back once more. I saw him one more time a couple years later, 2006, now 4 years later. He comes back, does the well again. I see him again. He remembers me, which is nice.
Yeah.
Then the next night, he's on set filming, I think it was Final Cut he was filming, or it was one of the two, back to back, whatever it was. And my mom was on set, and she was an extra on it for some reason. They're doing a night shoot, and she just starts talking to him because he starts talking to her. He's just like, he's borderline, you know, hanging out late, fuck, talking to everybody. And he talked to her, and she's like, oh, you met my son. He goes, oh, Simon, fuck. And then I saw him the next week, and he goes, I met mom. So we chatted for a while. He went to another set, and then afterwards, I said to him, I was like, well, there's this little French-Canadian restaurant called Zizani that at the time was doing a show. It's long gone now, but... It's only Thursday nights. And I said, if you ever want to come and work hard, I don't think they're going to really make it easy for you, you know? And it's like a 50-seater sort of thing. And so he's like, oh, I'll come down, you know, fine. And it had been a great, busy show. He comes down the next week. It's literally the only time it was canceled for lack of attendance. So we got this completely empty bar and Robin Williams and David Steinberg there.
That's fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked. It was the worst. It was just the worst feeling in the world. It's like, who's riding up on his bike but Robin? So we're chatting for a while. We talked for about half an hour. And I said to him, I was like, come back sometime. He's like, oh, I'll come back. And I thought I'd never see him again. A couple weeks later, he comes back at Saint Jean Baptiste Day. So the place is absolutely fucking packed.
Whoa.
At this point, he'd never even seen me do stand up. We just chatted a lot. We just goofed around a lot. And then he comes back. It's absolutely packed. And he's like, hey, can I get some time? I was like, what are you fucking crazy? No, of course you can't. Get out of here. He's got an Oscar on his bookshelf for fuck's sake. And then, so I do a spot. And when I came off stage, he hugged me. And he was like, I saw you. Oh, my God. He was so good. I was like, right? And he goes, yeah. And then he went up, and Graham Clark, local great comedian who was hosting that night, best intro I've ever heard. He goes, we have one final act. Your next comic was Mork. And Robin lost his shit. And he went up and he did like 40 minutes. Oh, and it was insane. And for the first couple of minutes, they were all like, who the fuck is this guy? I don't know. Oh, what? Because it doesn't make sense that he's there. It's
right.
The juxtaposition of it. And then and it was amazing. And then that was the last time I saw him. About a year later, maybe a little less, my American agents and manager at the time said, because when you petition for your U.S. papers, you know, you got to get a sponsor and you got to get all these letters mm-hmm. that tell, you know, why is he exemplary in his field?
Yeah.
And one of my guys was like, can we ask Robin for, I said, please don't do that. Please don't reach out to them. I don't want that to be a thing.
That's the only thing you do wrong in your career is you're the guy that's like, no.
I don't want to ask for help. But they didn't listen to me. Thankfully,
Thank God they didn't listen to me.
And so I got this letter from him, which was incredibly kind and incredibly flattering. And that was just a little snippet of it. And I never used it or anything. And then about a year after he died or so, 2 years after he died or something, I was talking to a good comedy friend of mine, and he was saying, you should use that quote because he wanted you to have that. That's something that he wants you to have.
That's a good point.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess that is. He goes, he wrote it down. He sat and thought about it and wrote it down and gave it to you.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's true. So that's how it came about. And unfortunately, I never saw him again. Probably won't. I don't think so. Yeah. Got a Ouija board, but it keeps going like this because it's Robin Williams. But he was, people always ask me like, what was he like? And I go, he's exactly what you wanted him to be.
Oh, that's fucking good feeling.
100%. Yeah. Oh. He was the sweetest, kindest, incredible memory and so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah, man.
Like, God damn, it doesn't do it justice when you see it on film and TV, how incredibly fast he was. Like, I'm pretty quick. That guy, holy shit, dude.
I would put, you know, people play that game where, like, who would you have in your, like, top five? You got to have dinner with them or whatever, mm-hmm. that are alive. He's always in my top five.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
fucking so
yeah, 100%. Cool. Like, he was.
And I want, like, old school coked out Robin.
Yeah.
I want that guy. Like, I don't want the guy that's struggling with recovery. No. That sounds horrible.
You want the guy that's just, like, in the middle of Mork and Mindy, just fucking full.
Just like, just yeah, let's have dinner at 3 a.m., no problem. Oh,
okay, fuck yeah, okay. talk about.
That's the guy I want.
Bouncing around. He was incredible. Well, I mean, that's the thing.
Method acting for insomnia just by doing blow the whole time.
Yeah. I'll never sleep. When I first met him, he was like 52 or 53, and he was still incredibly fast.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what he was like when he was like 29.
How much pussy did that guy get in his
Jesus
life,
Christ,
all
dude.
Of it.
Wow.
All of it.
It must, yeah, especially back then, too. It was late 70s, early 80s. Everyone's full of cocaine. Come on, man.
That's the time to go back to, hey? Yeah, right before cell phones, right when before the fentanyl got in the blow. That's the time.
The early 80s?
Yeah.
If you could pick 1 year out of the 80s to go back to, thinking about everything from cars to style to music to everything.
I mean, I was born in 86, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the year that the Challenger space shuttle exploded.
Yeah, so it's your
and
fault.
And I like that year.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good time.
That's when you
want
to
go back to that moment just to watch.
You're a big fan of space disasters, though.
I really
That's
am.
Your big thing.
I like it a lot. Yeah. Yeah, I don't watch the explode. I watch the family.
Yeah, no, right? You watch the
I
family.
See
yeah,
their reaction,
yeah, you
want
right? to see that. Yeah,
because kind of like a magic trick,
just
but
pan
sadder.
This way, pan this way. Look at her,
exactly.
like a magic trick, but
especially
sadder.
If you know what's gonna happen, you just you know, I get excited.
You make people's hope in the space program yeah. disappear.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember they wheeled a thing into because I was like I was nine,
yeah,
and they wheeled a TV in to show us the space shuttle.
Yeah,
and then boom.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
Wait, they're like, wait, watch this historic moment. Yeah, and then it blew
boom,
up.
Boom, boom, yeah. Yeah, I remember it. And I remember, it's funny because back Whoa. Then, it was a big deal to go to space. Now it's just something that anyone can do.
Yeah,
but back
yeah.
then, it was like a big deal. Yeah, Whoa, yeah. I think that's a familiar story because I've heard that from other people that they were in a, because it was a big thing, an assembly to watch this historic launch.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
Now it's like, and that's probably why they don't show them anymore.
Probably, in case shit goes wrong.
But I remember the Columbia disaster, too, in 03.
What's that?
When that was when, on takeoff, a piece of, like, heat insulation came off one of the wings of the shuttle. And so on reentry, they exploded and burned up. Yeah, it was 03.
God damn.
I know. So that's another year you might want to go back to.
Yeah,
you know, I could see you all happy. You're like, oh God, if only a shuttle would.
Yeah, it's just internal. It's not, I don't show it out loud. I'm not a psychopath.
You're sitting there with a little party hat. Come on, ah, this one made it.
Like I'm counting down, but it's after the launch. They're like, why is he counting down? I'm like 10, 9. And they're like, it's already up. It's you're like, no.
You're just counting as the astronauts hit. 7, 6, 5. Woohoo!
Oh, sad.
Oh, Jesus. So disturbing as shit, but like.
Straight to hell.
Yeah, of course.
That's good.
But I mean, that's our fault for trying. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, why are we hairless monkeys. We shouldn't be going up.
I fucking agree.
We should stay here.
I just remembered our retention time on this podcast mm-hmm. isn't long. So we got to plug our dates. Simon and I are on tour together. Mm-hmm. So we have right now. Yeah, sorry. I hate to cut this off, but I remember.
No,
I got to
yeah.
tell you guys.
You got to tell.
Saskatchewan, Canada is our next two dates. We got mm-hmm. Saskatoon and Regina.
Yep.
So come through. It's February 10th and 11th, Saskatoon and Regina. So if you're in Canada, if you're in the prairies, get over there.
Mm-hmm.
Come see us. Me and this guy, 45 minutes each. We got an opening act who's killer.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking great night. Then we're going over to the East Coast in March. So mm-hmm. we're going to be doing Fredericton. Links are everywhere. You'll find it. We're
yeah.
probably going to be doing Halifax, Moncton. We're going to add a few dates there. But anyways, Maritimes, we're doing it. Prairies, we're doing it. Simon and I like to go on tour together because
yeah.
If you don't like magic, then you get the funny. And if you don't like Simon yelling at you, then you can have some magic tricks. It's win-win-win.
So that's how I try and market. If people don't like me yelling at them, then it's just you don't have to come and see. Like, I'm basically just giving them time to get ready for you to come up. So they can get just enough booze in their system.
Often I don't even tell people about you. I
no.
just say I'm coming.
It's the best.
And then when they're like, what is this?
I always say, there's me and then there's magic. And people are like, ooh, magic. I'm like, yeah, but I have a new hour. They're like, but magic. And I'm like, yeah, magic, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I wish I did more magic.
I try to explain to them that you're a comedy magician.
Yeah,
I think I said that on one thing. I was like, if you would get it in through your head that you don't have to do magic and you could just be funny, we could finally have a real friendship. Instead, I have to pretend, you know, that I'm like, oh, it's like having a gay friend in the 70s. You know, right. Like you couldn't tell anybody. You're like, we hang out. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Hey, we're good friends, but you know, he just doesn't come to the
two hotel rooms. So we're gonna
two hotel rooms.
One of my closest friends.
He doesn't come to the club. We don't. Anyway, he's a confirmed bachelor. That's what he's saying. Instead of magician, he's a confirmed bachelor. Do you find that do you find that people want more magic out of you?
Yeah, all the time. People really? Constantly ask me to do like more, and I'm like, there's a world full of magicians doing more magic. Mm-hmm. Yet I'm the one getting views and getting TV shows mm-hmm. and stuff. I'm like, I think I'm right. And I know I'm right, and I'm arrogant enough, and you got to believe in it, but I'm like, I'm doing something that I think is different and unique, and that's all I know how to do. The amount of people that try and drag every time I get any kind of TV spot, they want me to do more trick. And
yeah,
I'm like, let's just let me be me. If you want another magician, get another magician, but I promise you don't. Because people, magic sounds like a good idea in theory, but it's like fucking juggling. You don't want to see an hour of it.
No.
You want to see like... No. You need ebbs and flows, because if the magician always walks out there and does some elaborate thing and blows your mind can't take that. It's goddamn magic tricks. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Right? Well, and then you start getting in your own head and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like some dudes will just like sit there and try to figure it out. Like I can outsmart this guy because
yeah.
whenever you're performing, you're also like in a position of power.
Yeah.
Like for me, I find that like when people laugh, sometimes they take it the wrong, because it's an involuntary response. They can't control themselves, so you have power over them. Yeah. I think with magic, it's the same thing. It's like you're just basically telling them, I can do this thing you can't do.
Yeah.
And they're just like, what the fuck? I get this with impressions. People say to me, they're like, you should just do an hour of impressions. Like, that would suck.
Yeah, no one wants
that. I don't want to do that.
No.
It's nice that you can throw it in once in a while, but just to do that is the most, like, just the lamest thing. Like, that's what, like.
What was the first impression you knew you could do? Like, when you did, or people were like, whoa, wait, you can do it.
I think probably Gilbert Gottfried. I think that was probably the first one. And because, if I recall, that was like, this would be like...
Early 90s, he was alive.
Yeah, like 1989, 1990, I could do it. Because I remember him from like, I think it was Problem Child or something.
Oh, so it wasn't from fucking Iago.
No, it was Iago. I mean, you got a lot of mileage out of that guy. But yeah. But yeah, the problem is I'm old enough now that a lot of people I can do impressions of are dying. So it really kind of fucks up my act. Not that I do them in my act, but
you don't
like,
do a Taylor Swift?
No, I don't do a Taylor Swift.
You get that. You got to get that one down.
Get a Taylor Swift down. I want to do, I could get I want to get a Ryan Reynolds down. There's a few that I want that I think would be useful, but I always wrote the joke first.
How do you do Ryan? What do you think?
I think you sort of talk really slow like that, and then you get really loud. Then you get really slow. Very calm. Very calm. I think it's like
the cadence.
It's like early Jim Carrey. Oh. Like Jim Carrey used to be like this the whole time. Really quiet. And then he'd get really loud. Like that sort of like that thing. But I think it's Ryan Reynolds. I think it's something to do with Canadians who are like you have that Ryan Reynolds-y thing. So I want to get him. There's a couple that I want to get. There's some that I have that are useless, but I like them.
Yeah.
And there's some that like you would think would get more mileage that don't, like things like Rogan and stuff you would think would be a bigger thing, but they're not as big a thing.
Yeah, I know. I see you post that one. You do really well. Yeah, and but people don't get any.
No, they don't seem to care.
It's like they hear enough Joe Rogan. They don't need to hear you.
Comics who know him have messaged me and said they like it.
Yeah.
Or retweeted it. Same with Bill Burr. Thing, but they I think it's just still too narrow. I gotta learn to get a Kreischer is what I gotta do.
Yeah, just Kreischer,
rip your shirt off
bro. That's all you gotta do rip your shirt off and just say things incorrectly.
Just like to say things incorrectly. Can you do any impressions?
No.
If you could, which would you want to have?
I can do Samuel Jackson, I can do Eddie Murphy, I can do Lawrence Fishburne, I can do just all black guys. Really.
Yeah, just saying the N-word is not an impression.
Oh, I can do none.
Shit, you're just yelling.
I thought I had them.
I can say it. I can say it in traffic with the window down on my pickup truck. Oh, anyways.
I'm really fucking up.
You just become epiphany that you're racist. You're just like, what?
I thought I was doing impressions. I thought that's what it was.
You know, I was singing along with Gangstar. Yeah, you know, yeah. I was like, no.
I always thought I was a bad singer. It turns out that it's not like the word. Shit.
just such naivete. You had no idea it was racist. You're like, I don't understand.
So I never do impressions. I used to do a lot of like, I would do accents.
Okay.
You know, like, so if I was telling a story, I would do the Irish guy, I would do the Australian guy, I'd do the Scottish guy. Then I kind of stopped doing that, and I was pretty good at them a long time ago. And then over the last 10 years, I haven't really done them much. And every now and then I'll tell like an old story on stage, and I'll be like, oh, fuck. And I'm trying to dig that out of the bag. And if you don't have that phrase that gets you into it, then you're lost. And I'm like, what? How did I used to get into that one? So every now and then I'll hit the right phrase, and I'll be like, oh, and then I'm good.
Impressions are like that with like actual impressions are like that too. Like with accents for sure, but impressions, it's sometimes it's like a word. Like I remember that Arnold Schwarzenegger, I couldn't get it for years. And then I wrote this joke about him. And I was like, it's funnier if I have this voice. Cause I always wrote the joke first. And I was like, it's funnier. And then, so I tried to figure out what word, and it was crazy. It was like, you're crazy. Something about the way
you're crazy, like that. It's just that. And then from there, you're fine. But it's just like, but as long as you can get that word. Yeah, and now you do him old, like with the raspy voice. Like,
so it's fucking good,
like,
dude.
It's just like that. Like you can, once you find that word.
What's the one in your act right now where it's just mayo? It's the only word.
That's him. That's it's, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger fucking up a tuna salad sandwich.
Yeah, too much mayo. I can't believe I did that. Yeah.
But it's like I had these impressions that are useless that I like Paul Giamatti and things like that. I'm like, just get more famouser so I can use.
I don't even know who's Paul Giamatti.
Well, he's the guy that talks like this.
Oh, fucking Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti.
From fucking Billions or whatever.
He was on Billions and he was
Lady
on
the water.
He was in that movie Turbo with Ryan Reynolds as a snail. Oh, yeah. And
he's like really
That's
fun
a
to
good
do.
One.
He's like really it. Fun to do, but nobody knows who he is.
He's got face recognition, not name recognition, I think.
I think he's one of those
Yo,
guys.
Yeah. His podcast is called Chinwag.
Who?
Paul Giamatti.
He has a podcast?
It's called Chinwag.
Why isn't he called it Chatty Giamatti?
Fuck. Paul, you missed it.
Chatty Giamatti, Paul.
It's
Chatty Giamatti.
Really fucking, I can't believe I said, who is that? Then I'm like telling you about his podcast.
Who is that? Oh, you know what you'd like.
So fucking good, dude. His podcast is, it's like, you can tell the first couple are rough because he doesn't really know, but like they're just the most famous people ever.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's so fun. Like him and Billy Bob Thornton talking about ghosts is so fucking great, man.
I got to listen to that because I didn't know he even had a podcast.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, because I feel like it's like, that's the thing too is with like these famous people have these podcasts and they have all their famous friends on and then you're stuck with me.
Yeah.
So that's
I bank on people getting famous eventually.
Eventually?
Right? So this is going to get views later.
Oh, is it? Well, when I make it?
Yeah, when
or
you
when
it.
I die.
Either way.
That's the other thing.
You are the comedian most likely in my life to either kill themselves or blow up. But either way, I'm going to get
Maybe
views
put
out
your
this.
Hands together.
You wouldn't happen to want to go to space, would you?
You're just like, put on this rocket pack. It's like, it's the end of Comedy Magic. You're like, Simon, you get to close these shows. Really? Oh, yeah. Well, just the one. Don't worry about it. I'm one of those guys where I'm like, I find that like I'm very I'm a particular kind of comedian, and there's a particular kind of I actually put in my bio high degree of difficulty comic just because I'm like I'm not
just
for everybody.
You don't want to get booked.
I don't want to get booked. Why would anyone want to book me?
Yeah, you fucking
nobody's booked me so far. I've been fine. I haven't had a job in 24 years.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was 2002.
You're a guy that you're Vancouver now.
Yeah,
and that's where I knew you from. You're one of the first guys I'm. From here, and you were the first guys in the Vancouver scene to be nice to me. Because being a magician, it was very nerve-wracking to be like, the only place I knew to get stage time was open mics. And no one, I never met
I thought you were mentally handicapped. So I was just being kind to you.
That's why you guys always gave me that parking spot?
Yeah, we gave you a parking spot. That's why we always talked really slow around you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Got your cards. Yeah. You're doing good. And then it turns out, Yeah. Just drunk.
Just a drunk magician.
Just drunk magician. Drunk magician. When did we meet?
It must have been, I would have been 22, 3, 4, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of like 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 2011, something like that. I don't know, whenever you were back, you were in LA, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in LA back and forth from around 05 until, around the end of 09.
So yeah, whenever you came back is when I started like, I think I was about 24 years old when I started actually going out to the open mics and trying to figure it out. And then like a year later, I quit my job.
And then
I was really trying.
And despite seeing me and seeing where it ends, you were like, I'm going to keep trying.
No, because I thought like if he can do it, right?
I think I want to call a special that. If he can do it. I mean, if he can hit that mic. But yeah, because it's like, I think it's like... Because you were always very funny.
Yeah.
You weren't just like, because people come and go, and it's like, you know, I've seen hundreds of comedians.
Well, I just stole jokes from people in different cities and brought them to Vancouver.
That's the way to do it. Okay, that's the way to do it. That's all my friends in Atlanta say this.
That's what you got to do.
All my friends in the streets of Atlanta. I find that like,
is
I think.
Is it all
that,
my impressions I knew?
Oh, the impressions. You're just like, oh, okay. Different kind of podcast. It's like Cat Williams podcast. But I find that like, I think that Vancouver has always been really good at comics developing very unique styles because it was so kind of so many mouths to feed and so little to go around here that like every comic, like if you go to LA or New York or any of these places, a lot of the comics have a very similar style. They're always kind of the same, even Toronto.
Yeah.
Whereas here it was always just like, you have to be so different.
The city's so sad for such like a world renowned city. When I started here, there was the two fucking comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Mick Comedy Mix and the Yuck Yucks.
Yeah.
And there's literally zero now.
There's nothing.
Like, it's a major world-renowned city with no comedy clubs.
With an incredible comedy scene. We have a reputation of having a ton of... I mean, we've always had some of the best comics, and some of the best comics in the country move here, and from America move here too. And so because we have that industry as well, and we ended up with this kind of really shitty situation where we just didn't have... I mean, the comedy club model partially isn't a very good model, and second of all, it's too expensive to open clubs in Vancouver. Now, the rent is absolutely... Yeah. It is prohibitive. Expensive. I was talking to a club manager and he was saying he wouldn't do it now if he could, because he's like, it's cost so much money that you would have to be full every night and like barely pay for anything and sell so much just to break even.
That's fucked.
And you need a big, if you want to bring in big acts, you need 300 plus seats.
That's why. It's because of the fucking rent here.
It's too expensive. Licenses, rent, insurance is a fucking nightmare. So they just get to a point where they're not, but when I started out too, it goes through ebbs and flows, but there was a period of time there where you could do 14 to 15 shows a week on different like clubs in between. So you could write a joke on a Monday, try it at an open mic on a Monday, and then run it through all the rooms. And by the end of the week, that bit was solid because all the rooms were different. They had a different style. Like rooms in the U.S. are different than rooms in Vancouver, are different than rooms in Richmond. So you'd be able to, and then inside the city, the you know, rooms on Main Street are going to be different than rooms in Kits. And so you can develop this bit and make these. And I think one of the reasons why we don't have the strength in comedy scene that we used to have is because we simply do not have the places to work.
I was gonna say, now I feel like some guys I've seen over the last 6 years run the same 5 minutes every time I come out. And I'm like, part of that's on them, but part of that is like they don't get a chance to get up enough.
Yeah, where are you going to do a long set in this time? I mean, even me writing hours, I mean, I'm lucky enough I can walk in wherever I want. But even me writing an hour, the stuff that I'm doing right now is really dark. And so you can't just jump into the middle of these bits. Yeah. Like some of them are really fucking intense. It's fine if the audience knows who I am or if they get to know me or if they, if I give the, but if I only have 5 minutes and I'm doing Beat a Baby to Death, it's not going to work, right? Because it works with 7 minutes, but it is one of those things.
And then the guy that it does work for, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, that's not good. Nope. He's just out there like cheering on. Dude, jokes about the space shuttle. All right. But yeah, so I find that that gives the, what do you got?
Forgot. I'm supposed to be cool on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Cool. Yeah.
All right.
Whoa, holy fuck. What's going on? That looks really... Now you do look like you came from the late 80s. You look like you're like in a sitcom in the late 80s.
I'll do blow right now.
Really?
Yeah. Just blur it, Cole. I'll do it right now.
Just blur it. Like no one has any clue what's happening.
No idea.
The cops are like, we were going to arrest him, but I don't know what's going on over there.
It's so blurry.
It just turned into a Japanese porn. How many times have I said that in a week? they're cool. If I'd have known, I would have brought my sunglasses in. I can't be cool, though. No. Whenever I put sunglasses on, people are just like, you poor man, you can't see.
Oh, buddy. I don't know what it is about. I'm learning slowly, like, over the time. I used to have no facial hair at all.
Yeah.
I grow it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris is like, you know, fucking Ramsey's got a big beard.
Yeah, he's got a big beard.
He always wears glasses, always puts a hat on, and he's always like, just cover more of your face, you become more attractive. And I'm like, this is it. And I know, I see what you're doing. No, and so you got that figured out.
I was zipped up. Otherwise, I put it up.
Yeah.
No, I just grow a beard because otherwise, I just literally look like a child. Like, yeah. Even now, I'm 46 and I still look like a child.
Fucking hair.
If I shave my face, a couple of years ago, I shaved for a part in a thing, and people were like, don't do that. I was like, no, yeah, I shouldn't do that. Because it's just like, because now I'm starting to get crow's feet, but then I just look like an old baby. Like a baby that something's gone wrong.
What's your wife say when you shave? She like...
She does not like it. Yeah, she's not a fan. No. Because one person said that to me. They're like, I didn't realize your lips were weird. I was like, well, thanks for that. That's good. That's fucking the rest of my life.
I got a thin upper lip too, and I'm yeah, like, no. I don't like it.
They're like, your lips are fucking... Well, that's why I grew this mustache. This mustache is crazy.
I'm like this whole time. It's fine.
Overall. Just keep getting bees to sting you.
It's crazy. I bite a lot of bees. I like biting bees.
This is the John C. Reilly.
Hey, just bite all the bees. Yeah, don't do that. No. Hey, he did that blurry blow.
Yo, he's a guy that fucking loves magic.
Does he? Of course he does. He seems like he would.
Yeah.
How do you know? You've done magic for him?
No, I wish, but like I went on a deep dive because I was doing reacting to videos on YouTube for a while about people doing magic tricks in movies. And he does one in one with the, where Marky Mark has a long dick there.
Boogie Nights.
He does a couple of magic tricks in that one. And I was like, oh shit, I think this guy might like magic. And I look into it and sure enough, he does like magic.
He's a huge magic
guy.
So
I'm like, I don't even know how to reach out to him, but I'm like, I'll fucking hang with you, show you some magic tricks. He's doing like the lamest tricks ever that you buy at the magic shop in the movie. And his character didn't need to do that, you know?
Yeah, like, he wanted to do it. Right? He wanted to put it in.
I love that shit.
Yeah. When people are like, you're like, clearly this is bled in.
Yeah.
Like someone's like, fine, John, you could do it.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool if you just did this.
Yeah.
Make this disappear.
Maybe this character sings a song.
Yeah.
You know, like there's always shit like that. You're like,
yeah.
Like,
it's never like
they're writing a karaoke scene now just for this actor.
I know. It's never like maybe this character does stand up. Everyone's like, no one wants to admit it. The amount of comics I know who've like got somewhere and immediately stopped doing stand up, I'm like, oh man, that's just you jumping out of the boat.
Oh, for sure.
I wouldn't stop. I don't think I'd stop at all.
No, definitely not.
I go the Segura route where you just like don't do anything else. You just like, I just do stand up. That's what I do. Yeah. Like, because I mean, I'm sure that guy's had every offer in the world.
That's the other thing too, where people are always asking me about like, you're trying to get like YouTube famous or whatever. Like, a lot of people start popping off online and they just stop everything else. I'm like, literally, the only reason I make content online is to get more people in the seats for the live show.
That's me too.
That's the fucking dream.
That's
dude.
Me too.
Just I want to sell 1,000 seats in every city I go to for the rest of my life.
But that's a better model too, because you never know when the social media platforms are either going to ban you or do something weird or stop monetizing or whatever the fuck they do. And then you're up the creek.
Yeah.
I mean, if everything you do is purely to get people to like, I just put out content on Instagram so that people will come to my Instagram and like, so you have what? You have a million followers on Instagram, but then all of a sudden one day they decide not to monetize it.
Dude.
And you're fucked.
Okay. Ramsey says this all the time and I can't believe he's fucking right, because people used to always say that to him, because he was one of those guys that got famous on fucking YouTube and stopped performing.
Oh yeah.
Right? And then everyone's like, well, what if YouTube shuts down or whatever? What if and he's like, Google, the biggest company in the world.
Yeah.
What if they shut down? He's like, and then the world shut down. And he was like,
yeah.
What if the outside closes? And it sounded ludicrous before.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And on this podcast, we never talk about COVID. If we do, we gotta take a fucking drink. So that's my bad.
There you go.
So you moved from here to, you lived in London for a bit. You lived in LA for a bit.
Yeah.
Run me through. You're a guy that's literally tried everything to get like everything
never
except
worked.
Be funnier. That's
yeah.
The only
no,
thing
I haven't
tried.
Yet. I even tried this podcast. Clearly not working.
Dude, and, it's working. Check the views.
No, I've just been at it for, so I really am very much into, I want to be a good comedian. That was my thing. And so when I found stand-up comedy, I was like, this is what I want to do. More than anything else, I want to be good at this. Yeah. And so I'm very much one of those, I would do 350, 400 shows a year, every year, and just like hammer it down and then do this. And, you know, you still audition for things and stuff like that, but none of that ever, I have so many near misses in my career. The only thing that has never really missed for me has been consistent, at least in terms of finding it rewarding, has been stand-up. So I just, that's what I want to do. And it's all been to further that goal. And then so in 2005, I got this comedy festival in the States that was quite prestigious. And because of that, they came and saw me and I got some reps out of it. And then we had some heat there for a while. But it's the entertainment industry, so the heat kind of comes and goes. And then the problem is around 07, the financial crisis happened, end of 07, 08. And so when I finally got my U.S. work papers, which took forever, everything shut the fuck down.
Yeah.
And then... when it kind of came back, there was a writer strike that shut that down. So by the time I actually, and also stand-up comedy and stuff, the entertainment industry wasn't the way it is now back then. I mean, 20 years ago, it was like YouTube had just, I remember having a meeting like the month YouTube was kind of invented, and we were sitting there and guys were like, well, some of these videos are getting up to 10,000 views. Like, Jesus, really? Because they had no idea what it was. No one knew what it was. The system was still very much like 10 years behind. It was still very much you go and you get a sitcom and that's how you make it. And that's all they had at that time. And so—
dude, when, in 2014, when I got my first viral video, and I was like, well, I did that job done.
Yeah.
Now let the rest of it come to me. And it did for about a year.
Yeah. Well, but 2014 though, I mean, that's the thing too, is it's like, it's so funny how like one video, like even look at Billy Burr, right? Like he really, I mean, yes, he had incredible comedy, had incredible specials and everything, but the thing that really kicked him off was that viral video. I mean, it still is a kingmaker. Like if you have a big enough video now, I mean, I think Matt Rife said that like one video was what made it for him.
Yeah.
And he just went viral. And it's, and I Makes think sense. That I've accepted the fact that for me, I'm not that type of person. Like every follower that I have has come from, I don't have a single video over 3 million, which I mean, sounds, but it's not in this day and age. 3 million is not very much at all. Wait, 3.7, I think, is the biggest I've got.
Who's counting?
Oh God, every single one, every single, I just click and refresh. But it's all shares and it's all because I'm very much one of those guys. And I think a lot of people are, is like, people come to my shows because they tell their friends about me who would like me. It's more specific, but I do find that that means my fan base. So like I have infinitesimally small numbers compared to a lot of comedians, but those people actually come to shows. Whereas some guys, they have like 2 million followers, but they've got 2 million followers because they do reaction videos or whatever they do. Yeah. And they don't that doesn't translate to actual showing up. So I think there's a virtue in trying to find the people that actually like what you do and then kind of do what you do for them. And that allows you to be a better comic. Right. But that didn't exist back then. It was just a lot of like, do the showcases, try and get the things.
Yeah.
And then when you do it. And so after that, I was very disheartened by the whole situation. I came back to Canada. I was pretty much ready to quit. And then I had like a snap set on stage in the best way possible and refocused myself. Really? Like, I'm just going to. Yeah. So I think I've told you this. I was doing like, it was like 2010. And I decided I was going to quit comedy. I'd been in it 10 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hated everything I was doing.
This is when you came back from LA.
Came back from LA. I was doing this, it was late spring, and I was doing this very small room, corduroy. I was doing this small room.
Yeah, that is small.
And my buddy James was running it at the time. And it was one of those nights where it was full, but everyone was bombing. Every single comic was just dying. The audience hated it all.
Yeah.
And I was closing, and I went up at the end, and I started doing the act that I had at the time, which was the stuff from my album, whatever, and it was much more goofy.
Which album?
Unfamous. And I was doing that much more like llama fisting jokes and stuff like that. I still like that
little
stuff.
Little ponytail you had going on there?
And that was after that. This was pre-ponytail. This was pre-bun. Oh yeah, Unfamous is the llama fisting and the beat a bear to death and all the Baconator. And I was doing that stuff and the audience started laughing and I was like, and it started going really well. And I was like, oh, I turned the room. And then about 5, maybe 10 minutes in, I was like, I just said to him, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sorry. I don't want to do this. I don't like you for laughing at it. And I don't like me for doing it. And I'm just tired of it. And I'm exhausted. And I want to fucking do this. And it was like really weird. Because at first they thought I was joking. And then I just put the e-brake on the whole show. And I just started talking about what I wanted to talk about. And it was good and bad. It was weird. But it was truly freeing. And I came off stage and I said to my buddy who ran it, I go, I apologize. I said, I'm sorry. That was not very professional. I shouldn't have done that. And he goes, you do that every time. You might be a good comic one day. And I was like, so then I just started doing that. And I just was
They were clearly wrong.
They were completely wrong.
But that is good advice. Though.
And then I learned a magic trick and that's how we're here. So and then it was just like that. And then in 2015, because I was born in England.
Yeah.
I had a manager at the time in the States. I applied for US papers. But I heard nothing for 6 months and I just assumed that meant it wasn't going to happen because I heard nothing.
It took me 2 years the first time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I didn't know and my manager had no updates on it. So I was just like, fuck it, I'll go to England. And my wife and I moved to England and we started doing comedy there and it was great. I really, really well. And then within a month of getting to London, my US papers came through. So it was like, fuck yeah. Awesome. Right and on. My manager's just like, you're going to move to England, LA? I'm like, no, I'm in a different part of the world. So it's just a bunch of that shit that's gone on. So that's, and it was really
good
rough.
Good for you for trying all the things though. I feel like you're going to be one of those guys now that's actually going to break late. You know, because you've had a good career, you're running it, you're doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like you might not even believe this, but I am eternally optimistic about where, like you've not seen the peak of your career even close yet. I know this about you.
Well,
you don't know this about you, but I know
that's
this about
a very
you.
Nice thing to think, and I appreciate that. But I'm very, very lucky that I have been able to do just this for 22 years. So, yeah. I mean, I started 24 years ago.
Yeah.
But since May of 2002, I haven't had a job. So I've been able to somehow manage. And I figure if you can do that in Canada for that long, you'd probably be all right.
You're starting to turn a corner because you figured out social media a little bit. You're starting to take real advice. Not from like...
No, 100%. You know, like, helped me so much.
I helped you and then you blew past me. And now I wish I never helped you.
We were racing so hard there. For well, because you had that mega fucking video, scared the shit out of me. And I was like, oh, this bastard. And
which
I remember being
one,
in a car.
Simon? I got so many.
I remember being in a
car. I had a nickel for every view.
I was in a car with Mikey Greenwood. And I was saying, I was like, Wes, because you were always like 500 to 1,000 ahead of me. He's like, this bastard's always ahead of me by 1,000. I was like, I just accepted the fact. But I was also happy because like this time last year, I had like 2,000. Followers, so it's like it's pretty good.
80,000 now?
80,000, yeah. So it's getting there. I think we're starting to get to numbers that are.
That's on OnlyFans or Instagram?
That's on OnlyFans.
Nice.
That's nice. Well, OnlyFeets. Right. OnlyFeets. I have prehensile toes. I can peel a banana. It's a big long thing, but the point is, it's also a big long thing on OnlyFans. Anyways.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so I don't know. It's like. I just find it, because you told me, you're like, people want to see this.
Yeah.
Because I was so sheepish about, because I don't have, you kind of need to have that ego to do successful things in this business. And I just don't quite have it enough to, I'm not very good at, what do they call it? Advocating for myself. I'm just not very good at that. And so like, I should have said no to this, but I can't. No. So I just batted it. And so I was just like, all right, well, I guess I'll just try. And you taught me so much stuff about, you're like, people just repost shit just
people have never seen it. It doesn't go out to anybody. So put it out again. Like, oh dude, it's amazing. I'm really happy. That's why I'm pretty sure the more you play this game correctly, the more I think it's going to work out.
I hope so. I mean,
and the older I get, the more I have to tell my friends who are older than me, like, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Because I'm really just talking to myself.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, it'll break late. You're trying to do the math between my age and yours. You're like, 8 years? Yeah.
That's what I knew when you were born. You got okay. I'm like, you're 8 years old. Like, I know exactly how old everybody is at all times. And I was like, if you played a game with me, name a celebrity, I'll tell you how old they are, I will never miss. I
really?
Swear to God. No, I'll probably miss a lot, but okay. Like, I'll feel right about it.
I was going
to
say Susan Sarandon.
Oh, 53.
No. What? She's old. She's way older than 53. She's got to be 70, right?
She's got to be.
They're from the 40s, those folks. Yeah, the boomer. I mean, that's the thing, too, about...
Same age as Kevin Costner. I know that.
Is she?
I have no idea, dude. I'm
fuck! God damn. But see, I fell for it. I would have just fallen for that completely. I would have been like, how old? Oh, my God.
Earlier when you said Susan Sarandon, I was just thinking Matt Damon in my mind.
Susan Sarandon. They're the same person.
I thought you were going to say
Matt Damon is Susan Sarandon.
I was
Sarandon.
Trying to predict what you'd say, so I was ready for it.
Matt Damon's got to be 53.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 53, maybe 54.
That's
what I just said. Oh, you said Susan Sarandon was 53.
No, I know, but I was thinking Matt Damon. You said Susan Sarandon. This podcast,
I'm just so glad you don't have to be a witness to a crime. It's like, who robbed me? Well, first of all, I'm going to have to sing this song I learned from Lawrence Fishburne.
Simon, do you hear that sound? It sounds like a Canadian goose. Do you hear it?
Oh.
That's the sound. It means it's time for Empty Threats. We're going to do some Empty Threats here, Simon.
Empty Threats.
All right. So if you don't know this game, it's where we just make empty threats to each other. Do a few each if we can.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to lead it off or would you like me to hit you first?
You start. You go first so I can get used to this.
I will tell everybody I know in entertainment industry that you slept your way to the middle.
I will sew you to a piece of furniture and leave it on the street corner for people to pick up. I just went Wu-Tang.
I like that a lot. I will go to your dad's graveside and whisper to his tombstone, your son's a dirty little cuck boy. Your dad's dead, right?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
I like it. I was thinking about that. I was like, he doesn't have a grave, though. But I was like, can I mock one up? All right. Okay. Hold on. Let's think of something. I'm trying not to be too horrendous. I will book you a ski weekend with only drunk Germans.
Oh, fuck. I can handle that.
That's actually all right. That'd be all right. Do me a favor. Have some Norvas!
Please, don't make that empty. Fill that threat.
The threat up.
I will not delete the nude photos of your kid on my phone. Wait, no. Which one's better for me? Actually, no, sorry. Fuck the government. I don't have them. Blur those, Cole. Blur the news. Blur.
I will tell
His
Cole not
19.
To blur. I will tell Cole not to blur that. That's my empty threat because I'm definitely going to not. No, I will bake you a cake that is majoritively sawdust and Tylenol.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to prison.
Sawdust and Tylenol.
I'm going to prison. Well, thanks for joining us in the episode of Empty Threats.
If any
those
of you are still
unique.
Left,
those ones. That I was like a that fucking. A I like those a lot.
I don't know where I came up with "so you to furniture." What the fuck is wrong with
Dude,
me?
No, I like it.
Where did that come from?
I give you no time to prep this. That feels good.
I sew you to furniture.
Normally on this podcast, we're doing vibrator races. We're doing empty threats. We have callers call in, and we tell them, give them advice on whatever questions they have. But we don't have any of that today because we're on the road doing a podcast.
Yeah, we got books.
Yeah, we got lots of books that we've never read. We look distinguished here. I like
books
that.
And a flamingo.
Yeah, and this here, that too. We brought these from home. These didn't come here. These were a la carte.
Well, I actually smuggled this in my anus. Okay. You'd be surprised how many times I say that in a week. I'm going to move my flamingo. This looks like a really exciting Miami Vice themed chess game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's remedial chess, so it's just cactus versus... There definitely was a chess game like this in the 80s.
It had to be.
Light up 100%. Flamingos. It had to exist. Just Jimmy Buffett plays every time you put him down.
Fuck.
That's how old I am.
Of your references, they're either dead or dying.
Yeah.
That is great. So if you guys want to join us on the Patreon, we got that going on next. We're going to continue on an extra episode with Simon. Also, we've added the membership on YouTube. Some people don't want Patreon. Fuck Patreon, honestly. YouTube's where it's at. You can just click the membership there, and you get the extra episode. Me and Simon are going to keep on talking. I'll see you over there. Thanks for coming to Bottom of the Barrel. And come back next week to see me and the taller, handsomer, hairier Chris Ramsey. See you guys over there. Oh, yeah. Don't forget to tell three friends about Bob. Thanks. Bottom of the barrel, hey. Bottom of the barrel, hey. Where we always feel so tall. Bottom of the barrel, hey. Bottom of the barrel, hey. The barrel is only too small. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.